kingdom of God was Jesus' favorite subject. Jesus would oftentimes say crazy sounding things like the last will be first and the least will be the greatest. And Jesus chose to serve those, or Jesus said that those who served were greater than those who received. And we've been sharing in this series how God has created us with a destiny and God has created us with a capacity for greatness. But the understanding and the definition of that greatness is defined differently inside God's kingdom than it is in the culture we were born in, regardless of what culture that is, because the Bible says that we were all born into a sinful world. The way we find greatness in God's kingdom is different than the way we find it in the world. It's not through power or fame or material possession or even great accomplishment. The way we find greatness in the kingdom, we said last week, was spending time with Jesus. Jesus was great, not because of His miracles. Jesus was great, not because of His teaching, although His teaching was great. Jesus was great because of His relationship with the Father. And then this week, what I want to share with you is, greatness inside the kingdom is defined by serving those closest to you. We tend to take those closest to us for granted. Matthew 22:36-39 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Now listen to the question. Greatest. Greatness. Greatest. Greatness. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus is about to define for us greatness in the kingdom. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment." This is what greatness is in the kingdom. "And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Now think about that second command. Greatness is defined in terms of relationship and love to the Father. Greatness is defined in terms of loving those who? Your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Those closest to you. The greatest command shows us greatness in the kingdom. Greatness is serving those closest to you. There's no one closer to you than your own family. Matthew 20:28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. He exercised, listen to this, His greatest act of serving to those who were closest to Him. What was Jesus' greatest act of serving other than dying on the cross? His greatest act of serving was washing feet. Whose feet did He wash? The multitude? Whose feet did He wash? The strangers on the road? Whose feet did He wash? The Pharisees? No, He washed the disciples' feet. He washed the feet of those closest to Him. We have a tendency to take those closest to us for granted. Husbands take wives for granted. Wives take husbands for granted. Parents take children for granted. Children take parents for granted. But Jesus defined greatness in the kingdom as serving those closest to you. I think the way that we become godly, let me just talk to dads for a minute. I think the path to greatness in the kingdom of God is when a father who is the most powerful physical member, the most physically powerful member of the family, when that person takes their role in the family and takes the power, the physical authority, the physical strength, the physical ability to control and overwhelm his own family because everyone else in the family is somehow physically weaker than him. When that father takes the power God gave him physically and uses it to serve rather than to manipulate and control, I think that's godly. That's a godly thing. What would give me the ability to say that? God is the most powerful force in the universe, And when he sent his son Jesus to earth, rather than taking that power on to control and mandate and dictate and manipulate, he used that power to serve. And Dad, when you take that role on, you become like God. You become godly. You become godlike. That you take on the same form that Christ took on. Now this morning what I wanted to do is just give you a few thoughts. We don't have a lot of time left. I want to share them with you quickly. But I was thinking about my own experience in the kingdom, not having in my own family a lot of spiritual modeling. One of the greatest challenges that I've had in my own family life is understanding how to live out the things that I've heard great sermons on but saw no pictures of. So rather this morning than saying you ought to serve your family, rather than teaching you scripturally that it ought to be done, rather than trying to inspire you to doing what you might not know how to do, what I decided to do is say, let me give you some ideas of what it might look like. How might you, Dad, how might you, Mom, how might you, Grandma and Grandpa, how might you serve your family? How might a young couple serve one another in marriage? Let me give you a few thoughts. The first thing is this: little changes make big differences over time. One of the things I misunderstood as I set out to do a Christian family right is I wanted to charge hell with a water pistol. After about, I don't know, a week, you wear out. And you realize that's not going to work. So what I came to say to you this morning is, how's your family doing? How's your family spiritually? Let me give you four things that I'm going to give you a way to manage your family that will take in all pieces of God's kingdom. And you can fit every part of spiritual life under it. We call these in our discipleship groups the four streams of the kingdom, that when you walk in them and you stay connected to them, your life continually evolves and grows and changes, and you rise in maturity and health comes on you, and you engage the kingdom and the kingdom engages you. Here's the first one. They won't be a surprise to you. We use this language in Deeper Life. We use this language in Disciple Life. We use this language in Life Streams. We use this language in Life Currents. We use this language in Kingwood Life Adventure. Here's the first one. Encounter God. How's your family doing in their God encounter? How's your family doing in spiritual life? All through the Bible, there's these big and small encounters with God. The burning bush moments and the daily life moments. How does that look in a family? How would you develop your own family spiritual life? Here's the first thing I would say in thinking about your family spiritual life. Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, have you ever had a conversation with your child, your grandchild, about whether or not they've prayed to receive Christ into their life? I don't think that's fundamentally the church's responsibility. I think it's fundamentally the family's responsibility. Have you ever had a conversation with your children about whether they've prayed to receive Christ in their life? On top of that, do you ever ask one another, how's your relationship with God? Husband and wife, do you ever ask one another, how's your relationship with God? Do you ever ask your children, how's your relationship with God? Do you ask your grandkids, how's your relationship with God? They're likely to look at you funny. And when they do, it just needs to be a good reminder to all of us, how far have we gone? What is this really about? Last week I said, and you applauded, our church has to be about a relationship with God. Isn't that what your family has to be about too? And if it's not, where are we? How's your relationship with God going? When do you pray together? Let me tell you something we started in our family. And look, I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff at you. You can't do all of it. Grab an idea and remember, little things over time make big changes. Don't go. How's this? We still on? Okay. I'll turn that one off in case it. All right. Okay, here's something we started several years ago in our family. We call it one-minute prayer. Getting ready to leave for the morning. Now, if I'm going to confess to you honestly, we did really strong with this about 4 years. The last few months, we've not done well. But here's something we've done that worked. One-minute prayer on the way out the door. Gather everybody at the door. Make them stop breathing heavy for a minute. Calm down. Stuff the food down their throat. And say, let's just pray for a minute. And you'd be surprised. You're never going to have a revival by doing that one morning. But you'd be surprised that little thing over time makes a big difference in the atmosphere of your family. Another thing you can do is family nights. We do family nights at our house probably half. We want to do one a week. We probably do them about half the year. Probably about two a month, somewhere like that. We probably average family nights. We just gather together and pray, sing, maybe read a devotional, read the Bible. I think a great time to pray is when a need arises, when wisdom is needed. I still remember last May when our oldest son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and I remember looking at that little meter and it registering 500 and something in sugar red. It's supposed to be 100. It was 500 and something. I checked it again and it read high, which means the meter won't read it anymore. It's over 600. And I can remember in my soul coming to grips with the fact, I know what this is. I know what I've got to do. We've got to go to the emergency room. He's sick. And I'll never forget that ride going up Highway 65 North as we sat in the car together. We put on a worship CD, and I just put my hand around his neck, and he and I just said, son, let's just pray. And that day, now listen to me, that day I was grateful that prayer was not a foreign concept to him or to me. I was grateful for that. And you don't get to start establishing prayer in those moments. You get to draw off the well of prayer in those moments. How's the spiritual life in your family doing? Here's the second one, connect. And we'll just talk about relationships for a minute. The family is the core of relationships to the in your life. The kingdom of God flows along relationship lines. So what I want to just ask you this morning is, how are you spending enough time together? Are you? Is there a time? I think sometimes we're so busy we try to multitask everything. And one of the things we tried to do in our family is, rather than every time there's a still moment trying to get something done, we try to have still moments that are about nothing but stillness. In other words, they're just about being together, and there's other moments we're trying to do three things at once. But are there those moments in your family, encounter, connect, relationship with God, relationship with each other? Are there those times in your family where it's not about chores, it's not about what's not done, it's not about what broke, it's not about how to fix it, it's not about what somebody's doing wrong, it's not about discipline, it's not about correction, it's not about training or teaching or getting ready for something or undoing something else? It's just about being together. You know, one of the two greatest things you can do in your family to build your relationship is eat together and laugh. Let me tell you why. When you eat, everybody's the same. Everybody's hungry and everybody needs food. And I don't care if you're 4 or 40 or 400. When you eat, you're alike. And when you laugh, you're alike. You ever had a moment, some of you guys or ladies, you ever had a moment when you have a boss that's an authoritarian, a dictatorial, or real staunch? You go in and after working 71 years for him, somehow something happens and you laugh together? And it seems like something leveled right there. Man, that's how your kids feel when you have those moments where you're just together and you just laugh and you eat and you share. A survey of teenagers was done to determine what family life characteristics were related to mental health and adjustment. Listen to this. Teens whose parents ate dinner with them 5 times per week or more were the least likely teenagers in America to be on drugs, to be depressed, or be in trouble with the law. They were more likely to be doing well in school and surrounded by supportive friends. What was interesting about the study that was done is that it didn't matter where they ate, what they ate, or when they ate. Didn't matter if they ate at McDonald's, they didn't have a big banquet spread, it didn't matter if they ordered food in, it didn't matter if they sat at the table, didn't matter if they sat in the living room, didn't matter if they ate at 9 at night, didn't matter if they ate at 4 in the afternoon. The point was, they were together. And that unifying time around meals is a great time. In our family, one of the things we've done to try to build relationships is when we all four sit together and eat, sometimes we ask what we call dinner questions. So here's what we ask. What was the funnest thing that happened today? Jacques. What was the hardest thing that happened today? And then sometimes we ask, did you ask God to help you with that? And now the kids have like spun all these other great questions that we didn't realize were going to come, and we're not so excited about answering them. What's the most embarrassing moment of your life? Now look, I pay the rent here. You just eat. I'll ask the questions. But it's become fun. Most embarrassing thing, funniest thing. So that's the thing. How's that going in your life? All right, here's the last two. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Encounter, connect, grow. This is the area that you are thinking about. How's my family growing? I think sometimes we get so busy in doing stuff, we do stuff, but we don't work on how we do stuff. So I think the question is, what has God called you to be as a family, and are you growing in it? Are your kids learning skills for life? Are they learning skills for faith? Are they learning how to manage their own life? Are they keeping their rooms clean? Are they all that stuff, homework, you know, all the house stuff right there? How's it going, and are you growing in it? We set up three banks for our kids several years ago. Give, save, spend. And we make them divide all the money they get up for birthday and from Nana and Pawpaw and Christmas and whatever, chore money. We make them divide all that up in them three. And so what we're trying to do is grow them in their ability to manage their own finances. But you look, you can think of a million things. All I'm saying is, if you will serve your family, make sure there's a connection to God, make sure there's a relational connection to each other, and then make sure that growth is happening. Are they growing in their understanding of God and His Word and life skills? All that goes there. And the last one is live on mission. Somewhere or another, your family has to understand the idea that God has blessed you, He's connected you to Him, He's connected you to each other, He's growing you in maturity, and He's doing that because He wants to use you for His purposes in the world outside your home. And that's really the deal, really the big deal. Well, we didn't have the time this morning for me to share all the things I wanted to with you. But would you stand with me? We have had a phenomenal morning. It's been really, really good. I want you to know that our church is committed to serving the family. And I want you to know that our church is committed to teaching the members of the family how to serve the family. And so, September 16th, we're going to have a parent, kids, family service on Sunday morning. You'll be hearing about it. Look for it in the bulletin on the announcement. In Big City Studios, in our kids' ministry, there'll be a day we'll be inviting moms and dads. Come on today with your kids. And you're going to have a special service that morning together. How many of you really appreciated that moment where we gathered with our children and worship? Wasn't that neat? Didn't that feel good? This morning as we close, here's what I want you to do. If you close your eyes and bow your heads. In this service, the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart. And He has laid some idea, some moment of emphasis, some moment of priority on your life. Put it in your mind. I want you to pray that with me for a moment. Whatever has come to you, whatever God has spoken to you in this service about what needs to happen next in your family, I just want you to pray it with me. And I want you to ask God to help you to take the next step. Lord Jesus, this morning, as we close this service out, I pray today that you would reinforce and seal that which you have put on our heart and mind to do. Lord, I pray for the moms and dads in this room, for the marriages, which is the core of the family, that you would bless the marriage, that you would bless communication, that you would bless mom and dad, that you would help them understand their God-given role in the family. Lord, that you would help dads to become servants. Come on, just pray with me as your soul is stirred. Dads, that you would become servants of the family. You would use the authority God's given you to serve and not to control or manipulate. Not for selfish gain, but for the blessing of the family. God, I pray for moms today that you would help them. Lord, give them the intuition and the wisdom and the discernment to have the sense about what's going on in the relationships in their family. Lord, I pray for the children, the teenagers, that you would help them to understand when they honor mom and dad, they come up underneath the covering of God. Lord, I pray for grandmas and grandpas today that you would help them to understand their legacy passed on to their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. God, I pray you would make this a place that the family is strengthened and not torn down. Lord, today we pray a blessing on the family. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say.